Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs. Plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I am Davis Maddock, joined by my friends, Nate Noling, Sammy Reed. It's your guys, it's your favorite show. We all lost. Lost less than I thought originally when we had gotten the results from the early games, because they're
way less.
I thought we were done. I was winning $10 after the early.
Yeah, you were texting us about swap, like earnest swaptions at like half hour after the slate started.
And it was obvious that we needed to do it because, so here, running through the teams, Sammy wins the three man with 127 points. He played Taysom Hill, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, Hunter Renfro, James O'Shaughnessy, Ezekiel Elliott, and the Panthers defense. Nate, I'm going to go with what we originally played, and then we can talk about the swaps.
Yeah,
I scored 121 points. My original team was Taysom Hill, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Chris Godwin, Mike Williams, Cole Beasley, James O'Shaughnessy, Austin Eckler in the Panthers defense. Nate scored 112. And then did you have the same original team? Or no, you had the
Crowder.
So Nate's original team was Taysom Hill, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Godwin, Mike Williams, Jameson Crowder, James O'Shaughnessy, Austin Eckler, and the Seahawks defense. Our team, the team that you and I played, was a pretty big train. Not as big as the train that we had as the trains from last week, but pretty big.
Yeah, so cash games were much more it wasn't as concentrated this week. I think there were a couple different ways to go. But I felt like there were a couple like main sticking points, but yeah, I was a 2v2 versus, I don't know what I thought most people were. So
yeah, the highest owned players in cash games this week, Antonio Gibson at 72% in the massive $50 double up, Mike Williams at 62%, Taysom Hill at 62%, Austin Eckler at 47%. That would have been much higher, but I assume 5 to 10% of people realized they were dead and swapped off. Josh Jacobs at 46%. This one took me by total fucking surprise. Austin Hooper at 40%. I thought he and O'Shaughnessy and Ricky Seals-Jones, like I didn't see a clear, you know, Gerald Everett, right? I just saw no clear tight end. The field really disagreed. Jameson Crowder at 39%, Chris Godwin at 32%, Renfro at 31%, and then the Seahawks and Browns defense were both 25%. So basically, after the early game, Sammy, you had Renfro. You had to just be feeling like, well, that's it, bro. It's all. I'm on easy street.
Yeah, that is what I thought. That is what I thought. It turned out not to be the case because I also had Ezekiel Elliott, that stone dust ball. I mean, he's Falcons Todd Gurley at this point. It's over. Like, we got to let go. Like, he got out carried by, you know, Corey Clement. And I was just like,
he literally did.
Yeah. But like, Renfro was the hammer on the slate. And I had him instead of, you know, these fish like Nate, who had like Jameson Crowder in their wide receiver three spot. I was like,
man, if you had played literally any other player with a pulse other than Ezekiel Elliott, you are like on easy street. You're at like 140.
If I had $100 more, I would have played Fournette, but it just,
yeah.
But I was like, oh, it's no big deal. Like
you should have played the Browns defense and Fournette.
Yeah, I should have done that.
That is a lot better than Zeke and the Panther.
Zeke, my God.
Is just brutal. Sometimes you look at a box score and the reality is like the real football wasn't as bad as the box score looks, but this was actually quite the opposite where it was like he looked even worse.
Having to give Corey Clement. I believe Corey Clement matched Tony Pollard's season high for touches in this game. I believe that is true. Let me look here how many touches he actually got. So Corey Clement got, 15 touches is Tony Pollard's season high, and Pollard had 13 carries and 2 targets.
I mean, they literally just need to old yeller Zeke, just take him out behind the shed and take care of him, and then take the plantar fascia from his cadaver and give it onto Tony Pollard, and everybody's happy.
As much as I would love to tell Sammy he's a big fish and an idiot for playing this team, I actually think Zeke was fine before because he was in a bunch of optimals after Pollard got moved out. I think Cardi played him. He was in some of the blitz optimals. All honestly, all the optimals I ran were all Fournette. It was not Eckler and it was not Alvin Kamara who ended up both being popular. And I just thought I knew better. I didn't know better.
Well, here's the thing. All the projection systems were like, yeah, Fournette, yeah, Zeke, but it's not as much of a science. Sometimes it's an art, a little bit more of an art. And you have to understand that Zeke is pure on dust. And what we all thought is, oh, Zeke's just going to come back. He's going to get all the work.
10 days rest, no Pollard, big faves.
Yeah. Like, and this dust bag got 6 targets and I think caught one of them, and like literally when it was time to salt the game away, they just took him out because he couldn't do anything, and it was just so tilting. And at the time I wasn't even that mad because it was like, oh, I'm fine, I got Renfro, like it's great. But then shit went down in the later games, and those winnings started dropping like Joe Biden's popularity rating, and here we are broke and feeling bad.
This had to be one of the weirdest slates ever. I thought I was dead, and then these afternoon games just
we are the swaps that you and I made, Nate. We kind of came back. Like we honestly,
I think we were live.
At halftime of those games, I actually was like, oh, we're gonna get there. Like I felt pretty good.
If you would have told me both of those games go to OT, Josh Allen did Josh Allen throw for 300? I mean, I would have told you Diggs puts up a 30 burger. Like the fact that Diggs and Debo didn't get there.
Okay. So let's talk about, people care more about like the pre-lock stuff. So
yeah. Well, can I just throw this in there that I'm real upset that you guys are all like, smoking each other's poles, it's just like, oh yeah, we got way more back. You're feeling good. And like, because you started off so bad and you got some back, it's like the poker player who like loses $2,000, but then like books a $200 loss and he feels great.
And you're like, yes.
Yeah. You feel like you crushed it, as opposed to the guy like me who like started up $2,000 and then got it all done.
Oh, same. Like same. If I returned the same amount of dollar value, but I had to watch the currently winnings drop, I'd be in a much worse mood than I am.
Oh, right yeah. Now. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's, for sure. It's just so tilting. Like I did better than you guys and I'm like in a worse mood. I hate this. Hate it.
I cannot believe I played another Jets wide receiver connected to Zach Wilson. I mean, it's just legit terrible. I mean,
we told you this morning.
It is literally like I have never seen a quarterback just miss so many
wide open layups.
I mean, Jamison Crowder can catch the ball from literally anybody, and then Zach Wilson is just it was awful to watch. And I'm just like praying. I'm just like, get a reception. I'm watching Hunter Renfro just
turn into Megatron
over the field. Yeah. And I mean, it was bad, dude. Sammy. So yeah, I'll take my L on that. I mean,
you were the one who played Renfro. What was it last week? And we didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, he jumped up like $2,000 and Crowder was what, $1,500 cheaper than him?
Yeah, but dude, the swap was right in front of you. The swap was, which is what I would have played, which was Beasley, who, and I think if I would have stuck the Godwin Beasley team, it might have even ended up being close. But we got like the swap was the optimal monkey team was Crowder Seahawks, and the artistry team was Beasley Panthers. And there was just no way. The last time I played Crowder, I scored 59 points or something. I think it was 64 points. And Patrick Laird told me to delete my DraftKings account. So I was just like, I literally after that result, I cannot go back to playing Jameson Crowder. Like absolutely no way. So Zach Wilson threw 42 passes. He completed 19 of them. And Braxton Berrios, Ty Johnson, DJ Montgomery, who made his first NFL appearance today, Ryan Griffin and Keelan Cole all had more receiving yards than Jameson Crowder.
My God, Nate.
Yeah,
I already know you said you took the L, but we probably have to spend at least half the show on this. I can't believe you played Jameson Crowder. I cannot freaking believe it, bro. Like,
I mean,
it's so bad. You got to self-exclude.
Yeah.
Sit out a week.
It's not good. It's not good at all. It was not a good feeling. It was brutal. There was just no wide receiver value under 5K. There was like literally nobody. He projected just to be a target monster. And unfortunately he wasn't. And even if he was, I mean, Zach Wilson can't get the ball to anybody, but yeah, I mean, Keelan Cole, Berrios.
Now, if Mike White had been starting, I could have been interested in Jameson Crowder.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you would have smashed him. But I mean, this is literally why I came up and played Renfro at wide receiver three.
This is why I wasn't playing Godwin Igwabuke or Brock Wright, because they're attached to Jared Goff at quarterback. There was the people smoothed out their projections, but this morning Brock Wright was projecting for like 11 points on some DFS sites, and I was like, there's just no way that's going to end well.
Well, Jameson Crowder doesn't end well either.
Brock Wright outscored Jameson Crowder 3-for-20.
Oof. Yeah, that gets the snowflake.
Okay.
Snowflake. All right, talk about your swaps, because you guys, I mean, literally half an hour after lock, you were earnestly like sending back and forth ideas of like.
So I've never worked so hard on a swap in my life. I literally for 2 hours straight am analyzing swaps.
Yeah, and I honestly think most of the swaps I considered were better than what I would have had, because all my iterations had someone who smashed, right? So Javonte Williams was in some of them. He ended up doing really good. You played Melvin Gordon, who got the bonus and two touchdowns. So the swap I decided to do was I moved Godwin, Mike Williams, Cole Beasley, and Austin Eckler to Stephon Diggs, Debo Samuel, Josh Palmer, and Leonard Fournette. And I actually think swapping to Debo was pretty bad. And the reason why I think swapping to Debo was pretty bad is he is not playing wide receiver right now. When Eli Mitchell is out, they are just using him as a running back. He more like an H-back, like, because he goes into the slot and he is running some routes. But Ayuk and Kittle are getting all those good middle of the field Jimmy G targets.
Yeah, it's like when you play Madden and you just sub in a guy at a different position for something and just like use him all over. And
yeah, I think that going forward, like I'm gonna cut Debo's target share a good bit in our stuff. Because it's now like what it's like four
it's
games.
It's now
like,
four games in a row, yeah, that he hasn't seen more than like five targets.
Yeah. Five to one. I mean, he's had exactly one reception in each of the 49ers last three games and more rushes than targets in all of those games.
Yeah. And paying $8,000 for a running back.
It was bad. It was not good.
I do think this is where I was so dead. I just said, who are the highest upside?
I did the same thing.
And it was like, yes, obviously Javonte Williams is better than Melvin Gordon, but Melvin Gordon was going to be just, I had to just throw anything at the
wall. Melvin Gordon move was so good by you, because people were so excited about Javonte and we knew the Broncos were just going to be running downhill for four quarters. And they did, they ran 39 times as a team and they completed 18 passes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I looked at a million swaps. That's what I landed on. It got me. Yeah, I mean, it saved my day. It brought me back to, in head-to-heads, not completely.
Yeah, I ended up getting, I because I didn't cash double ups, I haven't obviously gone through all of them, but I had to have won more than half of my head-to-heads because I'm getting back more than half of my money, and I didn't cash any double ups, which means that probably lots of people either didn't swap or saw my lineup with all
like we're good,
and also did not swap against me, which I mean, obviously no one should have swapped against the, because at the noon games, I had Taysom, who ran hotter than the GD Sun to get to 26 DraftKings points, Jacobs, Gibson, O'Shaughnessy, and the Panthers defense for like, I don't even know what's that, like 45 points probably or something. Not good.
Not good. And we were tilting Taysom most of the day, and he just got gifted that last touchdown, bro. Like,
apparently Kamara was yelling at him to kneel as he was running to the end zones. Scott Hansen, is that the red zone guy's name?
Yeah,
he was saying that Kamara said in his press conference afterward that he was literally running after Taysom and screaming at him to kneel the ball. And that Taysom said, and then they, you know, he scored the touchdown or whatever. And he told Kamara, he's like, no, I wanted my stats.
Yes, that's our hero. That's our hero. That's the chosen man. Yes. That's how they do it at BYU. Look, I mean, we needed that. We did run hotter than the Sun's ass to get all those points from Taysom. But he was, would you say he was like 62% in cash?
Yeah, I mean, he was.
Yeah, he didn't matter in cash.
Way owned. Yeah, it didn't matter.
But in tournaments, I thought he was like the fade.
Yeah. I didn't play any of him in tournaments.
I did a lot of Cam, which I thought was
the same. I think
nice little. Yeah. No, he didn't get benched, dude. They're just playing a platoon.
Platooning. Sammy, every time Cam comes out, is like, Cam got benched again. And I'm like, Cam literally has like two rushing touchdowns and all. Like, no, Cam did not get benched.
He should have.
No. I actually thought Cam played exactly what we thought he would. But anyway, Davis, I also think the other sharp move that you made in the swap was the Josh Palmer thing. I think a lot of people were on Jalen Guyton, but the reality is
Guyton ended up outscoring him, but it was a total, fluke. Yeah. Palmer ran way more routes and got more targets.
Yeah. Palmer got all the work. I mean, Palmer led.
He outproduced, he out targeted Mike Williams.
Yeah. He had a higher whopper than anybody. I mean,
can we talk about Mike Williams for a second? So Mike Williams was pretty extreme.
His role just didn't change, really.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, oh, Keenan Allen's out. He's gonna absorb all these targets. Where, you know, I mean, in reality, if he gets two or three extra targets, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal because he scores so many points per target, and because his ADOT is so high.
Yeah, like, but was that bad to make him chalk in cash at 6K? Do you think?
Not in cash. It was bad to play him as a one-off in like non-Herbert stacks at like 21% or whatever. Though I didn't play Mike Williams at all in tournaments.
Well, he became like the lowest ADOT version of himself that you would be. Like, that's the opposite of what we want Mike Williams to be. We want Mike Williams to be the deep threat. We want Mike Williams in an office where Keenan Allen is running those routes. Like, if anything, it looks like, I mean, I didn't watch this whole game, but Mike Williams literally has an 8 out of 3 from this game. And Palmer, it looks like, took the Mike Williams role that we want.
Huh. That's, I mean, cause Palmer's touchdown came on a total Keenan Allen play, like screen over to the side, slip around the defender, run up the side. Like, it was like a total Keenan Allen play. I don't know.
So Keenan Allen wouldn't have scored.
I mean, my stance all week was that Palmer was the better waiver wire pickup. He was the better tournament play. He was the better. If we would have had to have played one of these guys in cash, I do feel really stupid for not playing Jared Cook, who Cardi was telling me all week was the tight end play. And obviously he scored a touchdown. Like, yeah, obviously, yeah, Jared, yeah, Cook is going to score a touchdown.
8 yards. I mean, you know, it's like he's splitting time.
I mean, we played James O'Shaughnessy, dude. Like,
I don't know.
Dude, James O'Shaughnessy, like, I am still tilting that. Why did, like, he should have gotten those targets that game.
Dude,
just,
you,
like,
do you know, you didn't even see the play. He had,
yes, I did. He had a trick play that was like literally a touchdown.
Like literally a touchdown. And the safety got there like the last second, diving in front of him and knocked the ball away. But it would have been like, what, like a 40, 45 yard touchdown or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see the play, but I'm tilting right now that you guys are telling me about it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, is he?
Dude, I have officially, I am,
Wilson? I'm not
I'm
sure.
I'm at like DEFCON 2 with Trevor. Like, I am officially worried, and it's hard to parse out like what is his lack of ability versus like what is Urban Meyer or whatever. And I think he'll look better next year when Urban Meyer's not his coach. But also, one thing we know about these rookie quarterbacks is like sometimes when they just get shelled and they're in this awful environment, that just like fucks them up. Like, yeah, they never recover.
Sam Darnold,
right?
The Sam,
Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Derek Carr's older brother. I mean, lots of guys it's happened. They come in and start and they get sacked and they play with crappy receivers and crappy coaches and it just never works out for them. I mean, at this point, I think you would take Sam Bradford's career for Trevor Lawrence.
Whoa. Yeah. Wow. I mean, Sam Bradford did like set the all-time completion percentage record one season.
Sam Bradford won 7 games a bunch of times. He still owns the NFL record for completion percentage in a season.
I am just not going to get on board with this take, and I will be much more Bayesian in my approach and say that evaluating first year quarterbacks in an Urban Meyer.
This is no,
literally
you are having the non Bayesian and holding on to your prior, and I'm having the Bayesian approach and saying like these results are bad and you should feel bad about them.
No, it's been 14 weeks in a Urban Meyer offense with literally
but that matters.
DJ
though,
Shark
because
down. I mean, all these guys go down and then.
Because he should be learning right now. He should be learning, and he's not. He's regressing. He's playing worse now than he was the first month of the season.
It's projecting Josh Fields' fear right now, I think.
No, I'm not worried about Justin Fields. I'm not worried about Justin Fields.
Fields is legit. I will say this. I will take all of the Zach Wilson unders for the rest of his career. I mean,
yes,
that dude. I don't need to be Bayesian in my approach on that. He is trash.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not good.
I cannot believe that game. That was the most snaps of a Jets game I ever need to watch in my life.
Okay. Now we got to tilt. We get to have our tilting portion of Stephon Diggs, who, you know, Josh Allen scores 42 DraftKings points. We extend into overtime and he gets 7 for 70, in a game where Josh Allen threw the ball 54 times. He's targeted 13 times, 7 for 74 from our guy.
Keenan Allen-esque performance, gotta say.
Oh, dude. God, that was so obnoxious.
Well,
I mean,
did you guys see the throw at the end when he was
wide open? I don't know what happened. Maybe he didn't know it was coming, or maybe he like pulled up like his hamstring or something. I don't know. But that was the bonus right there. I mean, if he catches that, not only could he get the bonus, but if he would have made the safety miss, he would have scored. Like,
yes. Yeah. So you guys both swapped to Diggs, is that right?
Yeah.
Diggs, Debo, Palmer, Fournette was mine, and Nate had to do a different swap because he had already locked Donkey Crowder.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's
tough when you have to wear Crowder and then you don't have
my OG combo. Had I not swapped, might have outscored because Godwin got 23, Beasley got like 16.
Yeah.
Mike Williams got like 12-ish, 13-ish. What did Eckler get?
Like 12.1. He was 6 for 61.
Yeah, it would have been really close. Fournette got like 28 though.
What did Eckler get?
Eckler, I know he at least scored.
Probably
I don't
got
know.
Like 15 before he left. But
yeah,
he's,
probably.
I think he got. They're saying, you know, all the football doctors on Twitter who like show film and this
he got he got 15. So it would have been
our swap did nothing.
Yeah, basically. Well, no, because Palmer outscores Mike Williams, Fournette outscores Eckler, Godwin outscores Diggs, and Debo and Williams play to a draw. It probably is like 5 points better. I obviously we could actually do the math and check, but I'm not going to.
My swap netted me 1 point.
Well, Davis, the swap was better, so I think it was a plus EV swap, man.
I just
think it was a plus EV swap, but I'm just saying actual results.
I do actually Also, I do feel kind of stupid for not playing Kamara. I told you guys that before lock that Wiggins was playing Kamara.
Yeah.
And that I was like, it's Wiggins told me, he's like, it's going to be so obvious. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. It's going to be obvious. It's the Jets. Like, of course it's obvious. Like just playing Kamara over Eckler. If you played Kamara over Eckler and used that money to play Renfro over the Crowder, Beasley, 5K, whatever wide receiver spot, like you were just stone locked into making money.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Kamara literally just got, what did he have, 27?
Yeah, I mean, imagine playing Taysom and Kamara together and the game's like 10-7 in the fourth quarter or whatever. And then they just go touchdown, 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 bonus. And you're just like, yeah, I'm rich.
Yeah, no problem.
It's really hard to evaluate this slate right now. I mean, those running backs, just Antonio Gibson. I mean, what in the world? I mean, you tell me McKissick's out.
Well, Gibson, they just got shitstormed by the Cowboys.
They got shitstormed and he kept fumbling.
Yeah.
And they didn't throw him the ball, like, even though they were down a bunch. And Heinicke is just like so.
And he got Jarrett Patterson got 4 carries. Jonathan Williams, who I didn't even know was on the team, got
the touchdown.
Got 4 carries and got the goal line touchdown. Patterson caught a dump off that should have been Gibson. Curtis Samuel was playing kind of in that slot role. Jonathan, I mean, it just was just a mess. Like when teams are getting beat that bad, it just opens up the door for so much randomness. Like I don't feel bad about playing Gibson.
It got close. And then
it got close in a really fake way though. It got close because there was a pick six and Dallas got the ball back immediately. And then Kyle Allen turned, it was close for like what, 35 seconds of game clock, Sammy,
Dallas,
or something
Dallas
like that.
Legit quit trying. They like,
yeah,
they were playing like they had an insurmountable lead when it was, you know, whatever, like a 2-score game.
The announcers would, before Dak threw that pick six, the announcers were talking about Dallas just like trying to run the clock out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was actually fairly bizarre. It was kind of like the Buccaneers game where the Bucs were like,
yeah, they were just running the clock out. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of a sudden the other team's back in. It was very, very weird. Was Josh Jacobs a bad play for cash?
No. Josh Jacobs.
He was because we could have 1v1 straight up played Renfro over him.
Well, I played Renfro, so I wasn't doing that, but
different position, Davis. I mean, what running back would you have played instead? At the end of the day,
you would have just played Eckler at running back instead of at flex and played Renfro or put Mike Williams in flex. Yeah, 4 wide receiver.
No, I mean, Renfro getting 14 targets is at the top of his range. Jacobs was a great play. I don't think the Jacobs thing was bad. Like, I don't think.
I mean, he did fulfill one thesis of the play, which was that he catch 6 passes.
Yeah. The issue was, and you know, I mean, it's a worry anytime you have like this sort of thing. The Chiefs really haven't blown many people out, but like once they started blowing him out, they took him out and they played like Peyton Barber, which was, you know,
Peyton Barber, 3 targets. You love to see it.
Yeah. You can't really account for that. It's just kind of like the nature of blowouts, but you know, if you like thought the Chiefs were going to be up all game, I know that Jacobs is not going to like, they're giving him a 3-down roll basically. Right. But
yeah,
you know, if it's like, oh, we are exclusively passing now, that can be a situation where they might take him out some. I don't know. I'm just tilting, man. He was fine.
Yeah. I get the tilt. I'm just saying,
I mean, Jacobs, it's always workload. It's great. Always one of those things when you have a guy in cash and then you play 0 of him in GPP that you think maybe it might have been a mistake, which is what I did. I had 0 of Jacobs in tournaments and I played Javonte over him in all tournament lineups.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing that both of these games had was defensive touchdowns. The Chiefs scored 1.
Yeah, and yeah, it just ruins everything.
It screws everything up, man. They should outlaw defensive touchdowns. I freaking hate them.
They should credit it to the closest skill position player to the sideline.
I mean, that means that,
they should credit it to the last offensive skill position player who got a touch for the team. I think that's fair.
Yeah. We'll put that on our list of demands right behind. If you get the bonus, you can't unget it.
Yeah. That's like my list of ways to improve, the NFL. So the, you know, obviously the first thing is Holding on the offense is never called. You just never call it. Yep. Defenses are not allowed to practice on Fridays. That would be an obvious improvement. And if you really want to get crazy, the defense can not play cover two. One safety has to be in between the hashes at all times.
And the season should be 12 weeks.
Yep.
I want more games.
No, dude, these injury, it just becomes so stupid. Like later in the season with these like injuries and the offensive line, I don't know. 12 week season would be optimal. IMO.
It would have been optimal right for Nate's bankroll because he was.
Yes. He started so hot. Jameis is getting Crowder roasted now. All right, let's do our tournament teams. I got very lucky. I think I almost even broke even on the day because I had a decent team that cashed for. It was got 196th in the SPY. Josh Allen with 42. Jeff Wilson Jr. with 5, Javonte Williams with 21, Stephon Diggs with 14, Godwin with 23, Beasley, who was a terrible play at this ownership, I'm realizing, got 15, Gronk had 11, Josh Palmer got 17, and the Browns defense got 14. But I knew I wanted to get in that game using one of the tight ends because I thought that was the way to get weird with that game was using Knox or Gronk. Honestly, Godwin at 12%. Like, if I knew Godwin was 12%, I probably would have played him on every team. I was assuming the standard 25% ownership on Godwin. What? How did that work out? Like, literally, how is Godwin 12%?
I don't know.
I'm like flummoxed right now.
Yeah, no answer. No answer. The guy just puts up like 25 every week without scoring.
Yeah. My other tournament teams were I played a Mahomes double in the red zone, and I played a Dak double in the smaller red zone. Obviously, defensive touchdowns ruined those. Like Tyreek did nothing, Kelsey did nothing. Cooper caught a touchdown, but like didn't get the bonus. And as Sammy mentioned, they literally spent the entire second half doing nothing. And then I always do like a smaller, a weird team in like the $27 single entry and the $12 single entry and like just put it in random ones. And I did Kittle with Cincinnati double stacks, and Kittle just absolute man again. Should have just played 100% Kittle as always.
The Kittle stuff is nuts. I mean, literally, he just runs across the middle of the field every time Jimmy G.
Every time. Just catches it.
Yeah. I had three main ways I built tournament teams this week. One was I thought Cam Newton was a high upside way to get off of the Taysom Hill chalk. So I did a lot of single stacks with Cam Newton and DJ Moore with no Atlanta bringback. My other teams were Josh Allen double stacks, and then my other team was Russ Wilson double stack, but only one of Lockett or Metcalf. So
how are you double stacking him?
With Everett.
Oh, yeah. So here's my thing. I thought Lockett and Metcalf were amazing one-offs, like really good. No, but I don't think Russ can get 30. I think they literally play such a low-volume offense. I do not know if he can get 30.
Dude, they run like 55 plays a game. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean the Lockett stuff was awesome. Everett got there too, but yeah, Russ just didn't meaningfully separate from the field. But the biggest thing is I had almost 100% Debo on every tournament team because I like Debo to me was the clearest highest upside play of the day, and just his ownership was minuscule. So, but my main team was Josh Allen, Dawson Knox, Stephon Diggs with, which I think that is like kind of the stack that I look at most often. I think if I looked back on my history, I think Josh Allen with Diggs and Knox are my biggest stack. So I did that and I wanted to bring it back with someone that was a flyer that I knew was going to be low owned. So I went with the Perriman bring back.
Hey, so how about it?
Wow.
Yeah. Got
big,
that
big smash at the end, Nate.
Yeah, with, but with, and this is going to be where you guys rip on me, but with the Dawson Knox and Perriman low ownership. I felt comfortable going with Javonte Williams and Antonio Gibson as my running backs.
I've said that 100 times. There's nothing wrong with playing the highest owned running backs because the running back points are so much more predictable.
And then I finished off with Mike Williams and Julio Jones. Julio Jones was like my other favorite.
He was my favorite tournament play. Yeah, I played him in all. I didn't play him in that Bills one, but I played him in the Dak doubles and the Mahomes doubles.
Yeah, so this team ended up 148.2 at Browns D. I pretty much for defense just excluded the Seahawks.
Yeah,
and just, I mean, I had a bunch of Dallas. I had a bunch of Browns. I mean, pretty much any D that you played that wasn't the Seahawks was a good play.
Yeah, literally. Well, not the Panthers.
Not the Panthers.
Not the Panthers. All right, Sammy, what do you got?
I mean, you know, this lineup is just chock full of freaking snowflakes, which is amazing because it is a Josh Allen double stack. I did Allen, Diggs, and Beasley, and then I brought it back with Mike Evans. And then I went pretty chalky at running back. I had Antonio Gibson and Jeff Wilson Jr. I did have Julio Jones in this lineup. I went with our old favorite Foster Moreau at tight end because I was like, oh, Foster, like everyone's pissed at him. Like, he won't.
No, I liked that play.
Yeah. That was a good play.
Did not work out well. You know, just he was Foster Moreau. And then I played the Jets defense because I was like, oh, like everyone's going to play Taysom Hill. Just play the Jets defense. This could be great. This lineup sucked. Like, Wilson was terrible, predictably. Gibson was terrible. Julio, you know, is Julio. Foster Moreau.
The Jaguars are just unbearable, dude. Did you guys see the clip of Urban Meyer doing like the handshake with Vrabel?
No, what'd he do?
He looks like a divorced dad, like buying frozen burritos. He just like looks like a broken man.
He's going to be a divorced dad pretty soon, I think.
I have the same questions about Urban Meyer that I do about Ben Roethlisberger, which is like, is the money really good enough for them to want to do a job that they clearly hate? Like, Ben Roethlisberger does not enjoy being an NFL quarterback. Like, why is he still doing this?
I don't know.
And Urban Meyer clearly does not like coaching pro football. Like, he does not like having to tell people what to do who are like, make more money than him.
I like having Urban Meyer being an NFL coach though. Like, this entire this dumpster fire of the Jaguars organization is enthralling to watch.
There are only 32 teams, and we benefit when more teams are good. Like, it's the part of the problem with why, you know, everyone spends their whole Sundays complaining about these games being bad to watch, and part of it is because the coaches are bad. If the coaches were good and we had more coaches, you know, doing things in an optimal way and whose players wanted to play for them, the games would be better.
I want Hard Knocks. I wanted Hard Knocks to do Jacksonville. Like, this is the show that we should have got, honestly. Did you see a Harbaugh talk about his decision to go for two? And it was just like, everybody on Twitter, like every sharp on Twitter knows this. Why don't NFL coaches do this? Like, why do not more NFL coaches like grasp like simple, like logic and game theory?
This happened in another game too. A team went for two down 9 and the announcers were acting like they had murdered a child in front of them. Like, they did not understand.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I would have done that. I would have waited.
No, dude, it was way more emphatic than that. They were like, this is a bad decision. This is mystifying.
Was it Troy Aikman? Cause literally everything he says about NFL strategy is just.
Dude, by the way, Huntley is like, kind of interesting, right? Like, he's kind of a baller. He's like he's not as good of a runner as Lamar, obviously, but he's like very hard to tackle. He had one run on like second and 37 or something insane, and he got like, he picked up like 25 yards and dodged like 9 dudes. It was incredible.
Yeah, I also think almost anybody who is an NFL athlete in that offense at quarterback is interesting. Like, the way that Harbaugh schemes is if you put a just requisite level talent NFL quarterback there, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So do we have pricing for next week yet?
No, not yet.
No, let's look at what the main slate, because there's two Saturday games next week. So the the schedule, I think, will be a little bit different.
It starts getting wonky. Yeah.
So we have Raiders, Browns on set. There's Chiefs, Chargers is Thursday night football. So no Chiefs, no Chargers on the main slate.
R.I.P.
No
that saves us from the Josh Kelly slash
Larry Round. Oh, but that's going to be an absolute nightmare to figure out for Showdown. I'm not looking forward to figuring that out. Raiders, Browns, not on the main slate, and Patriots, Colts, not on the main slate. So the main slate is Titans, Steelers. Oof. Deontay will be what, 7,500, Sammy?
Oh, Deontay Johnson? I thought you meant Donta Foreman. I was like, yeah, no. I'll play him.
I'll play him.
I'll play him at 7.5K against the Steelers, sure.
Okay, Panthers, Bills, Washington football team, Eagles, Texans, Jaguars. Well, we're probably going to find a way to play O'Shaughnessy again.
this is the I don't want any part of it.
Cowboys against Giants, Cardinals against Lions, Jets, Dolphins. Then the afternoon games are Bengals, Broncos, Falcons, 49ers. Seahawks, Rams could be good. And then Packers, Ravens. Nothing really leapt out to me is really interesting in those games, to be honest.
No, I mean, Cardinals, Lions in the dome is going to be – it will be owned. Like, Kyler will be owned, I assume.
Especially because the pricing is going to be inefficient because the Cardinals play tomorrow. So if Chase Edmond come back and does anything tomorrow, he's going to be mispriced for next week. So, I actually like that because Arizona is finally getting healthy again. So we can actually see back to their early season stuff.
Yeah. Packers Ravens, man. Like that'll be,
not if Lamar has an ankle injury and they are going to price. What's his name?
Huntley.
He'll be priced to like 5,600 or whatever instead of 4,500.
I guess so. I'm also worried about the Packers defense. They just got Devondre Campbell back. Jair Alexander. Like
I'm watching them. I'm watching them right now. I'm watching them right now. And Fields is. I mean, this could be cold takes exposed literally any second. But Fields looks kind of good.
Uh oh.
It's almost like. Yeah, I mean,
it's hard.
I don't want to say anything because the second I get excited about Justin Fields, he tears my heart. Well, Matt Nagy tears my heart out.
And it's hard for me to give opinions on Fields because I just like he does something and I'm like, was that good or am I just biased? Like it's impossible to tell if he actually did do something good or if I just wanted it to be good. But we're definitely getting to that time of the season where it's like, oh, Jeff Wilson Jr. Oh, Josh Palmer. Like we're getting Brashad Perryman just scored a walk-off touchdown. Like, oh, by the way, Peter is coming back for week 18 now. Yeah.
Nice. We need the man.
Please don't scoop him, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, the football was weird today. The Chiefs scored like 70 points and Tyreek got 8 and Travis Kelce got like 2.
Yeah, my Chiefs double stacks with the Renfro bring back didn't cash.
Yeah. Should have been.
I hate football, man.
Yeah, defensive touchdowns are the worst. All right, guys, let's get out of here. Everyone, thank you very much for listening. We will we'll be back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.